Alphabet's earnings this week gave markets a lot to process simultaneously, and the reaction has been mixed in a way that tells you something important about where investor psychology is right now. Revenue growth was strong, but Alphabet disclosed $811 billion in future spending commitments. That's an extraordinary number, and then reported its first negative free cash flow since its IPO in 2004. $44.9 billion in AI infrastructure spending in Q2 alone outpaced operating cash flow.
The NeoCloud stock surging on that Alphabet CapEx news. Is the market saying something interesting? Alphabet's spending is someone else's revenue. When Google commits to $811 billion in future infrastructure, that money flows to data center operators, networking equipment manufacturers, cooling systems, and power infrastructure companies. The NeoCloud sector, which provides AI-specific cloud capacity to companies that can't build their own, is a direct beneficiary of hyperscaler spending, regardless of which hyperscaler is writing the checks.
Michael Burry's warning deserves serious engagement rather than the reflexive "he predicted 2008" framing that tends to follow him around. His specific concern is a three-way collision. AI debt, the extraordinary leverage being taken on to finance AI infrastructure, meeting an oil price shock from the Iran conflict, meeting long bond pressure from deteriorating treasury market dynamics. Those three forces are all real and all happening simultaneously. The question isn't whether they're real, it's whether they collide in a disruptive way or find separate release valves.
And the treasury short-term bill data is the one that most concerns me as a structural matter. Bills now represent 22% of marketable treasury debt, well above the recommended 15 to 20% ceiling. The reason that ceiling matters is that short-term bills need to be rolled over constantly. When market conditions change, the government's borrowing costs can spike very quickly. A weak 20-year bond auction driving yields to near record highs this week is a specific data point about the long end of the curve, but the bill concentration problem is about the government's vulnerability to a sudden loss of short-term market confidence.
The Bessent warning to Wall Street about tax strategies deserves attention as well. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent explicitly warning that certain Wall Street tax strategies may be abusive is an unusually direct shot from a Republican Treasury official. This administration came in with significant Wall Street support. A public warning from the Treasury Secretary about tax practices is either a genuine enforcement signal or a negotiating tactic, and distinguishing between the two matters for anyone in financial services.
The J.P. Morgan Epstein testimony is the story that has the most legal exposure attached to it. A former J.P. Morgan executive testified in closed session before Congress that he warned CEO Jamie Dimon about Epstein not once, but twice. That directly contradicts Dimon's prior statements. J.P. Morgan has already settled civil litigation over its Epstein relationship for $290 million. But congressional testimony that contradicts a sitting CEO's prior statements creates a new category of legal and reputational risk that doesn't go away just because the civil case is settled.
I want to spend a moment on the Pentagon's Oracle contract because it illustrates something important about how the federal technology market works. A nearly $7 billion sole source contract, meaning it was awarded without competitive bidding, consolidating all Oracle licenses across the military, Coast Guard, and intelligence community, is the kind of procurement decision that raises immediate questions. Sole source awards are permitted under specific legal exceptions, but awarding one at this scale requires strong justification. The consolidation rationale may be legally defensible, but it's the kind of decision that generates oversight attention.
Let me add the curriculum corner here, because the Oracle contract actually makes this the right moment to explain antitrust law basics, which connects to several of today's tech stories: the Stripe Open Router deal, OpenAI's enterprise push, and the market concentration question. Antitrust law in the United States rests primarily on the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890. Yes, 1890. Which gives you a sense of how foundational this framework is. The Sherman Act prohibits two main things: agreements between competitors that restrain trade, and monopolization or attempted monopolization of a market. The key word there is monopolization, not monopoly.
and that distinction is crucial. Having a large market share isn't illegal. Microsoft had a dominant position in PC operating systems. Google has a dominant position in search. The legal question isn't whether you're big, it's whether you acquired or maintained that dominance through anti-competitive conduct rather than through better products. Think of it this way. If you become dominant because customers genuinely prefer your product, that's competition working. If you become dominant by making it structurally impossible for competitors to exist through exclusive contracts, predatory pricing, or leveraging dominance in one market to foreclose another, that's where the Sherman Act becomes relevant.
The Stripe Open Router deal is a good test case for this framework. If Stripe acquires the dominant AIAPI routing platform, the antitrust question won't be, is Stripe big? It'll be, does controlling this routing layer give Stripe the ability to disadvantage competitors in ways that harm the market? The FTC and DOJ will be asking exactly that question if the deal proceeds.